Welcome to season 5, episode number 2 of Brody Sports Talk. That is right. We are in the second episode already of season 5, and it could not feel better. I am joined by my co-host, my favorite co-host on this podcast, and that's Caleb Walgren. How you doing, Caleb?
Woo! Season 5, time to talk the 2023 NFL season. I'm ready to go over to the East Coast, try to find some good places to eat, maybe go grab a cheesesteak. I don't know. I think that there's going to be a good time. What do you think, Derek?
I don't quite understand why Dallas is in the NFC East, but I'm sure someone will explain it to me in the comments. So, as you may or may not have realized, we are starting our division previews. This week, we are starting out with the NFC East. And those, of course, are the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Washington Commanders. And we will go over the next few weeks, 4 typical topics. We'll talk about arrivals and departures for each team. We will take the win totals over and under, and any division awards that we think players from this team can win, you know, like MVP, Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, stuff like that. And then we'll talk about key matchups within the division. We each pick a game or even the same game that we look at their schedule and say, that is a division game that I think is going to be important to this team. So, Caleb, you want to just jump in here with the Dallas Cowboys?
I mean, there are other teams I like more, but we can talk about the Dallas Cowboys. That's fine.
Okay, so with the 26th pick in the draft, the Cowboys picked Mazie Smith, the defensive tackle. And with the pick 58, they picked up tight end Luke Schumacher, maybe. It's a little bit more Germanic than I'm giving it credit for. And then the goodbyes, the departures for the team, guard Connor McGovern. He's going over to Buffalo. We still don't know about Zeke. I mean, we know Zeke is gone, but he may return. And then Dalton Schultz there. Tight end, which is probably why they picked up Luke Schumacher as with that pick 58. So for me, the biggest hole that I see here, the biggest issue I see within this is the goodbye of Connor McGovern. He's a guard, and the Cowboys have been known as a running team for a while now. Tony Pollard is still there, and this looked like it was going to be his job to take over. I always worry when you have a established offensive lineman. I'm a big offensive lineman guy, so sue me if you want, but that's the piece that always kind of gets to me. So I do like trading one tight end for the other tight end, as seeing Dalton Schultz go and then bringing in a rookie. But I do think that that's a good pick. What about you, Caleb? Was there anything, any of these arrivals or departures that you think warrant conversation?
I mean, I do want to go ahead and talk about Mazie Smith for a moment, because I think that there were a lot of people that didn't fully understand that first round pick. I think in general, you're getting a nose tackle. You need to have a good nose tackle when you're talking about a 3-4 defense like Dan Quinn likes to run. You're also then saying that Micah Parsons is going to be freed up to do a little bit more of whatever the heck you want Micah Parsons to do, which is always a big win. And if you remember, the team that won that division last year kept doing sneaks over the center. And so if you can go get a big nose tackle and try to win that battle, I'm not saying they will, it was a good investment. It was a good investment for the Cowboys to make sure that they had more talent there.
Yeah, you're right about that. So I mean, the nose tackle sneaks over the middle, makes a lot of sense. And I don't think I put two and two together on that one, Caleb. So brilliant insight. So for our over under wins for the Cowboys, we're looking at 9.5 wins for the Cowboys. So I'm going to toss it over to Caleb first. Do you think the Cowboys go over or under the 9.5 win total?
So I do have to go ahead and at least call attention to the fact that they went 12-5 last year. Mm-hmm. So if you're going under, you're going to say that the Cowboys have to have found a way to regress by at least 3 wins. And I just don't have that much oomph in this one. So I'm going to say the Cowboys go over again in 2023.
Oh, so you want to know how they regressed? Should I tell you more about that? They lost their offensive coordinator. Kellen Moore was the reason for Dak Prescott being so good and why they won that many games. Hide and watch the Chargers this year, which is where Kellen Moore went to. They're going to be a better offensive team. I don't know how many defensive stops this team is going to make because Dan Quinn seems to be the only coach who has his head on straight when it comes to Dallas. The fact that they let him walk, the fact that he wasn't the heir apparent coach in Dallas, Jerry needs his head examined. I think they go under. I really think that the Dallas Cowboys are going to be a 9-7 team this year.
I hope you're right. 9-7-1, I guess. Got to throw that tie in there. I know. That
a 9-8 team. Sorry, okay. I forgot about the a 9-8 team. So
I would be fine with that. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that I'm wrong, and the Cowboys go like 4-13. To be honest, I just really don't want them to be great, but I do think that in general, there's enough there. I think Dak's going to somehow cut down on interceptions, maybe because he gets benched. Who knows? But it'll be interesting to see what happens there this year.
Okay, so for our next piece, we have division awards. Now, we are not saying here at Brody Sports Talk that anyone is going to win any of these awards. What I am saying is these are the people that I think could stand out on the team and could step out and just be like, hey, this person could win Rookie of the Year. This person can win, you know, Comeback Player of the Year, or be the most improved person that we've seen. So for me, I have MVP being Dak Prescott. So I'm not saying that Dak Prescott's going to win MVP, but I think he has the ability to be MVP. If they all of a sudden have a brand new offensive system and he breaks out of who he has been and he stays healthy and those Dallas Cowboys run all over the NFL, I think the defense, stays with them. And what you kind of have to have is a winning team with a standout star. So I have Dak Prescott could win MVP, and then if he's up there for MVP, it's got to be Micah Parsons getting close to that Defensive Player of the Year, as I think that he could win it any given year. So those are my two awards that I think could be up for the Cowboys. What do you think, Caleb?
I definitely think that Micah going for Defensive Player of the Year is possibly chalk. Like, I think that in general, he's been in the discussion for 2 years, and he's only been in the league for 2 years. So I definitely have to consider him there. Give me a sneaky dark horse of Tony Pollard being a threat for Offensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
Because I think he's going to get more of those touchdowns with Zeke being out of Dallas. And it'll boost his numbers.
Yeah, you're right about that. Okay, so let's go to our key matchups. And I'm going to go ahead and let you You take this one first. What do you think is a key matchup? What game do you think that where you're going to be circling on your calendar for Dallas that you're going to that think is going to swing their season, good or bad?
So I do think that in general, Dallas has an interesting start to the season. They don't have a lot of their divisional games right out the gate, but I do want to see how they do on the road during week six when they have the Kellen Moore revenge game as they travel to take on the Los Angeles Chargers on Monday Night Football. I think that it will be a thrilling game. I think that it'll be a must-watch game. And I just think at that point we're going to know more about this team. They'll have had to have played both the New York teams, the Cardinals, the Patriots, the 49ers, and then the Chargers. They're probably going to stay out in California that week because that's stuff that Dallas does. Playing at San Francisco the week before, playing at Los Angeles the following week, both Sunday and Monday night games. We're going to know more about them after those two primetime games and if they're a contender or a pretender in the NFC.
That's a really good one. For me, I am looking at week 14. Philadelphia coming to Jerry World. I just think that this is late in the season. This is going to be that game that probably pushes one team to the division crown. Maybe even pushes one team into the playoffs and the other team out of the playoffs because as you may see later on, I don't think the NFC East is going to send three teams to the playoffs like they did last year. I think some of the other teams have stepped up, and I think we're going to have a battle elsewhere for wild card spots. So I think week 14 with Philadelphia coming to Jerry World is going to be that key matchup that I see.
It sounds like a thriller. I hope that Philly goes in there and takes care of business because much like you dislike the Raiders, I think that if the Cowboys went 0-17, it would be a fantastic year.
There we go. So let's go on. Let's get on wings as Eagles as we move on to the Philadelphia Eagles. Fly, Eagle, fly. Now, I am going to be a homer for this particular team on this episode as I am standing in for our reporter on assignment, Sean, as he cannot speak up for himself. So I am going to speak up for his team. I really like them. They have a really nice color of green, and I like green. So let's talk about their arrivals and departures. They have the number 9 to pick, and they picked up, well, just by default, anybody from the state of Georgia or went to the University of Georgia or took a visit to the University of Georgia, they're probably a Philadelphia Eagle. But defensive tackle Jalen Carter with a number 9 pick, and then picked up another first-round pick of Nolan Smith, linebacker. The departures were defensive tackle Javon Hargraves and safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson. For me, that Gardner-Johnson loss is going to be a bigger impact this year, along with losing both coordinators. I think that Sirianni is a good coach, and I think he's got a good head on his shoulders, and he knows what he's doing. But replacing both of your coordinators in the same year is very tough. Losing a really good defensive star like C.J. Gardner-Johnson is going to show. But I really like Jalen Carter on the football field. Outside the football field, I have different opinions, but on the but as a football player, he's really fun. So, Caleb, let's toss it over to you. Who do you like in these arrivals departure? Anyone else that you want to mention?
I think it's definitely worth mentioning that Miles Sanders is no longer part of the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. And while I bring that up, I look at that team and go, does it matter? And that's kind of weird to say because the Eagles do like to run the ball. Obviously, Jalen Hurts runs a lot. They have Marcus Mariota coming in as the new backup because Gardner Minshew is gone. But that running back room, DeAndre Swift, Kenny Gainwell, Rashad Penny, Boston Scott, Trey Sermon, and Kennedy Brooks. Like, I feel like there's so much talent in that room, and we don't even know what they're going to do with all of that. Because they've liked Gainwell, but he's a little bit smaller. He's more of a pass catcher. Penny, he didn't get a chance to do what he was going to do out in Seattle, but he doesn't have that much mileage on him. DeAndre Swift, you know, again, a cast off from Detroit with them drafting Jahmyr Gibbs. I feel like there's a lot of interesting movement happening in that group, but I feel like there's not someone who I look at and go, they won't potentially have an impact. I think everyone in that running back room could have an impact on any game.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, they do run the ball a lot, and their run game is very important to them. So let's talk about the wins over under. And based on what we find right now, their win total is 11.5. For me, I'm going out on a limb with this one, as I am taking an over on the 11.5. It's a lot of wins, but I think they push that 12 or 13. I still think that they are the class of the division. I think they're the best team in the division. I mean, I'm not going to bet against a team that just lost the Super Bowl because there's only one team better than them, basically. So for me, I'm going the above 11.5. Caleb, where are you at with the wins for the Eagles?
I'm going above 11.5 as well. Okay. They ended up with 14 last year, similar to my Dallas pick. I just don't see three wins that they're regressing. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, they went 14-3 because Jalen Hurts didn't play those games. Like when you have Gardner Minshew playing instead of your potential MVP, there's a reason why you drop some. And every game Jalen Hurts played in, the Eagles looked like they were a threat to win or they won. So I think the Eagles over 11.5, I love it. I love it.
No, I'm right there with you on that one. Really, a really good, I mean, I think it's a pretty easy pick unless we see some significant injuries. I think that's a pretty good lock. So for division awards, for me, I've got Defensive Rookie of the Year in Jalen Carter, Offensive Player of the Year / MVP, for Jalen Hurts, and then Offensive Player of the Year for Dark Horse Devontae Smith. I think that if Smith really does become the person that becomes the receiver that everyone wants him to be, I think we could see a Cooper Kupp type season for Smith. What do you think, Caleb? Where do you have any awards in mind for any of the Eagles?
I think there's an award for a future player that Derek would leave me to record a podcast with for Lane Johnson.
Yeah, of course.
I think
I didn't think we had to say that out loud. Like,
you know, Kelsey's already got one with his brother. Mm-hmm. I don't know that if Lane Johnson has a brother is famous, so I don't think that that's going to happen. He might want someone with more podcast experience. And in general, you had him as Brody number one. And while I don't think that there's a great award, like I can't be like Lane Johnson for MVP or Lane Johnson for Offensive Player of the Year, even though he definitely warrants the consideration, I at least needed to bring him up here and give that man his lane and respect him because he is Lane Johnson.
No, you're right. I really do wish offensive lineman could win the Offensive Player of the Year, but he can't because have you ever gone shopping with Lane Johnson? I did one time. Do you know why that I had to carry all my groceries out to the car? Because he doesn't give up a sack. Okay, pause for effect, and let's move on to our key matchup for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm going to go with an early game for them. I'm going to go week four versus the Washington Commanders. So for me, this is an early outlook for where Washington is and where they're going to be for probably the rest of the year. We'll talk about Washington in here in a minute, and you know how I feel about what they're going to do. But this is for lack of a better, a little brother versus big brother type of game. And if the Commanders keep it close, or they can, you know, shock Philadelphia, I think it really does place. You're seeing the Commanders step up. And, you know, we've seen over the last couple of years that the Commanders have, they've been scrappy. And they're putting things together, and they're trying to, you know, duct tape and scaffolding and all that kind of stuff. They probably need to put that kind of stuff on their stadium. But for me, it's a kind of a boost game, inter-division rivalry game. And let's just see where the Commanders are. And let's see what sets up for the Eagles, where they're at versus, are they going to play down to their competition, or are they going to steamroll them as they should? What about you, Caleb?
So in general, the Eagles did great last year. I have a lot of respect for them and what they did. I'm looking at them as they get their schedule going after their bye week. I'm looking at week 11 as they go to Arrowhead Stadium to face the Kansas City Chiefs, mm-hmm. Try to get that Super Bowl revenge game going. The Eagles, they had a taste of it last year. They were mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl. They want the Super Bowl. They want to make sure the Chiefs don't have home field advantage. Like you have to be going in there for revenge, to hurt the Chiefs' chances of the postseason, whatever it is. That, and then the following week when they come back and host Buffalo, are two huge games on their schedule. And because the Eagles are not here playing for second place. Mm-hmm. They want to come back and they want to try to win it all.
No, that's a really good point. I think that that Philadelphia is really trying, like, hey, we got a taste. We got a Super Bowl a couple of years back, but that was kind of in a completely different way, a completely different system. Let's just push. We know we have the players right now. But this is one of those teams that really likes to rebuild and reload, and I think that they do such a great job at it. So, yeah, I think Philadelphia is going to be in that conversation for the next few years, and I'm excited to see their style of green out there in the NFL because I like green. Let's go ahead and move on, and I command you to talk about the Washington Commanders. Arrivals and departures for the Commanders. They had a 16th pick, and they picked up cornerback Emmanuel Forbes. They said goodbye to their longtime quarterback, Taylor Heineke. Also another quarterback in Carson Wentz. They have a turnstile of quarterbacks. They're trying to find someone to lead them to the promised land, basically. So we say goodbye to Commander Carson. Caleb, I know you're a big Carson Wentz fan, and you have that big tattoo on your back of Carson Wentz, but let's go ahead and put it in perspective. How do you feel about the makeup of the Commanders, and do you think they could have, added, do you think that they're one piece away from competing, or do you think that they are in a rebuild for a couple of years?
I think that they have a lot of pieces in place.
Okay.
I think that they are a little bit underrated, but we all know that Riverboat Ron is going to be up there getting the Commanders to do things that we don't expect. Somehow this team went 8-8-1 last year.
What I'm saying. They're scrappy.
And that was with Taylor Heineke, who somehow was like the most recognizable Commander the last 2 years, being their quarterback. And I don't think he's that good of a quarterback. You know, we need to see who can get the ball out. Like, how is Sam Howell going to get the ball out to Scary Terry or Jahan Dotson or Curtis Samuel or De'Ami Brown? Even if Sam Howell doesn't play well, I think Jacoby Brissett is good enough to be a starter in this league. I don't know if he's exactly top 32 quarterbacks, but I think he's within like 35, 36. Let's not forget that he did do pretty well with the Browns last year, but the Browns couldn't stop anyone. So it wasn't Brissett's fault that they fell apart. That was other things like management. But Sam Howell, Brissett, I don't think that we're really looking at, oh, this is a dramatic step down from Wentz and Heinicke. No, it's they're fine.
Okay, yeah. I mean, they're not going to have those really big highs, and they're not going to have the really big lows, because they're going to have, let's move on to their win total. So we have it right now, the over under of 6.5. And for me, knowing the quarterback situation, I'm jumping all over the under on the 6.5. I think that they have some early season strife and they shut down everybody trying to just get the number one, number two pick. Because there's a lot of nice quarterbacks coming out in the 2024 draft. So for me, I think we go under because I think they're going to see the writing on the wall and they're not going to win the division and they're not going to fight for a playoff spot, I don't think.
I think I forgot to mention their most beneficial arrival.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Bieniemy. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm actually going to go with the over 6.5. I don't know if it's 7-10, but I do think that the Commanders are going to find a way to get past that 6.5. Uh-huh. I think that there is enough young talent on this team, especially on defense. You have to remember all that those first round picks they have on the defensive line that continues to show up strong. And that I think with Bieniemy coming in, they're going to find ways to get Terry McLaurin more involved and get the ball in the hands of these dynamic playmakers. Robinson and Gibson should be a dynamic 1-2 tandem out of the backfield at running back. I trust Bieniemy enough that I'm leaning on it, even though when I look at the roster, I do somewhat look at it and go, this is a bit underwhelming. It's not my favorite. I don't think I would sit here and say, this is a lock or anything like that. I just feel like it's an over.
Okay. Well, then that's fine. We all have opinions and wrong opinions sometimes. So let's move on to our division awards. So this is a little bit of a stretch, but I did find some things that I think would. So barring health and stuff like that, I think comeback player of the year could be Chase Young. We have something with Sam Howell out there for, you know, if he just steps in and he says, I'm going to lead this team. He's got the offensive weapons there. He's got Eric Bieniemy. So, you know, Sam Howell comes out, starts, and just is on gangbusters. And we see a brand new Commanders team.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark because I don't think that there's a lot of chances that I think awards happen here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say Terry McLaurin, Offensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
I think it's the headline that I would say is least surprising based off of where we're at today. If somehow Terry McLaurin is featured in a way that feels, I don't want to say Tyreek Hill-esque because McLaurin is built completely different, but basically where he's a featured number one, goes out, has a strong season, the Commanders win well over the 6.5 games. I don't know that everyone's going to give everything to Howell because he's the new one and McLaurin's the established one. Kind of like Cooper Kupp when he won Offensive Player of the Year a few years ago. So just a thought, I'm still saying ridiculously low odds on that.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking for the best case scenario for this. So let me toss it over to you for the key matchup. Which game do they have that you just think this is going to be the game?
I really want to see them in week five, oddly enough. Mm-hmm. They have a somewhat tough start to the season. Arizona, Denver, Buffalo, Philly. And then they have a short week after Philly to host the Chicago Bears. The Bears were not great last year.
Uh-huh.
To me, this is one I feel like I need to circle for Washington and say, you've just got to go find a way to do this.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't show up after back-to-back weeks against Buffalo and Philly, who I think everyone is going to write the Commanders off in those games, you've got to show up against Chicago at home on Thursday night. Because otherwise, it's going to be kind of like you said. It could be a shutdown early, and we're going to take our ball and leave, because there's just not that much that you can look at and go, the Commanders have this. Again, like you said before, they're scrappy. They're going to hang around in games they have no business winning, and then they're going to find a way to get some W's. That's what they do. That's kind of how I feel like Ron Rivera's teams have always kind of done things, where you're like, they're not that good of a team. They're fairly average, but average should be good enough to get 6.5 wins. So I want to see if they come out, maybe put up a couple of touchdowns on Chicago early, use that great pass rush that they have on that D-line to block up Justin Fields and contain him a little bit, because not necessarily the most exciting game I'm going to watch on Prime this year, hopefully, but I definitely will be watching, because it's Thursday Night Football and I need something to do on Thursday nights.
Yeah, so that's a really good game and really well thought out. So for me, I've already talked about a week four Philadelphia versus Washington. I'm going to move to a different one where if Washington is who they want to be, if they're still that scrappy team, they're still pushing for what is our identity and stuff like that, I want to look at week 12 with the Commanders going to Jerry World. So it's 2 weeks before the bye. It's this game, then the next game, and then they have a bye. Do we see the cracks in the team? Are they sluggish? Are they just trying to get to a week off? Or are they strong? Are they coming together as a team? Are they playing together? Are they, can you see this team building throughout the season? And so I think that week 12 matchup where, we do see the Cowboys. We see what they are at this point. We see, where the new offense is. And, I think that this would be a good... I'm hoping that the Commanders are better by week 12 than falling apart at week 4, like I said, with Philadelphia.
Well, and that's a Thanksgiving Day game. So you're looking at that. You're going to be watching that with family. Like, no one wants to... I don't want to see Dallas crush Washington on Thanksgiving. Like, that would be, like, a worst-case scenario. I want to see... Luke Schoonmaker jumping into the Salvation Army bucket and possibly playing a different arcade game like Skee Ball in it, because they did Whack-A-Mole last year. Mm-hmm. But I do want Washington to be competitive. And I think you're very accurate. They could be tired. They could be worn out. It's going to be the second time they're playing on short rest. I think it's funny that we both picked Thursday games, but I think that in general, sometimes those short rest games have a little bit more of a show us how much you want it. And it'll be interesting to see the Commanders and how they do on that national stage that they don't get a ton of times this year.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So let's move over to the elephant in the room, the biggest piece of the NFC East, and those are those Giants, the New York Football Giants. So we have some arrivals and departures for the Giants. For the 24th pick, they picked up cornerback Deontay Banks. With pick 172, because we are an Oklahoma-based podcast, they picked up Eric Gray from the University of Oklahoma, and they brought over a new tight end, and that's Darren Waller, Mr. Kelsey Plum to me, because I'm a bigger fan of his wife than I ever was him, because he was a Raider. Go Aces. And one of their goodbyes was free safety Julian Love. So not a big out the door for the New York Giants. They did get better, I think, this year. So their over-under win total is 7.5. Caleb, I'm tossing it over to you first. Do you take the over or the under for 7.5 for the New York Giants?
This might surprise you, Derek.
Okay.
I'm going under.
Okay.
I really just don't think the Giants are... They showed up and surprised a ton of people last year. They won a lot of games early, and then they struggled a little bit more down the stretch.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see more of that struggle down the stretch than that team that caught fire early in the season. And so I think that in general, the Giants stumble a little bit more. Possibly like Danny Dimes running down the field and just tripping on his shoelaces. But I do think that it is under the 7.5 wins for the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be on that train with you. I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Giants. I think this is going to be a more of a rebuild year. Like you said, they took the world by storm early in the season, and overperformed. Let's say I'm going to take the under when it comes to the 7.5, as I think that they are a 5 or 6 win team. I think there's a lot of things to figure out with the Giants, mainly that they have New York in their name and they play in New Jersey. So some of the division awards that I see with this brand new spanking tight end that they have, I see Darren Waller could be offensive player of the year. If they use him correctly, I don't think I've ever seen a tight end win this award, but you know, I'm just picking out awards that could come off of this team. I really do think that, that he's going to be a really bright spot. And then on the other side, I think Kayvon Thibodeau could be defensive player of the year. I like what he brings to the table. There's a lot of defensive side. I think this is a much bigger defensive player of the year team than I would say offensive player of the year. Caleb, let me toss it over to you. Do you want to give Danny Dimes the MVP right now?
I do not. I'm going to pass on that.
Okay.
But I am going to go ahead and take a shot in the dark.
Okay.
Danny Dimes has not had the best luck with some of the people he's tried to get the ball to over the years. There's been a lot of injuries in the wide receiver room. I'm going to give a dark shot to Jalin Hyatt winning Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Okay. Because
I do think that in general, if there is some sort of chemistry there, Hyatt is fast. If you're doing maybe some good play actions with Saquon Barkley, Matt Breida, and Eric Gray, you know, you got to fake those handoffs, go over the top to Hyatt, who has some great speed. I think that that's at least a potential, because when you're getting those yards and those touchdowns, that can really fly you up those boards pretty fast. I think there's going to be a lot of competition for Rookie of the Year this year, especially out of Carolina and Houston. But I do think that if Hyatt has a good year and the Giants have a good year, there's a possibility.
Carolina and Houston, huh? Did they draft pretty high this year?
Yes, they did.
Okay. I don't remember the draft or who drafted number one or where that person came from. So, you know, let's just move on. We are looking at the key matchup. And for me, this is the big one. Week 18, Philadelphia coming to New Jersey. Can the Giants get in the playoffs? I think this is a wild card team. If they get into the playoffs at all, I don't think, like I said earlier, I don't think they're going to win that many games. But if they are, if they're, you know, if they have that big front of the season push, this is going to be that game that that's going to get them into the playoffs. Who's going to get in the playoffs first, the Giants or the 49ers? Because, you know, I'm always going to root for the 49ers. Caleb, what is your game of the week? Game of the season?
Yeah, my game of the season for them is going to be Week 8, the Battle for New York, as they are playing against the New York Jets. Kind of ironic, like you said, they both do play in New Jersey. The game will be in New Jersey. The Jets are actually going to be coming fresh off of a bye into that game, so they're going to be hungry. You know, I think that a lot of the talk this offseason has been about a recent new quarterback the Jets have gotten.
Do you have any experience of knowing who this new quarterback is?
I heard he used to wear number 12, but now he's going to wear 8, so it's going to look really weird.
Okay.
They also have Sauce Gardner, who is really good, and I'm sure we'll talk about him more next week when we do the AFC East preview. Teaser, you're welcome. But I do think that that battle for New York is going to be a big one for the Giants. The Giants are used to being the main team in the New York City area, and I think if the town turns to a little bit of green, it's just not going to be good for the Giants this year. So I think if the Jets come off the bye, find a way to take care of them there at home, the next three games for the Giants are on the road. It's going to be very rough. You need to at least get that W before you go on a three-game road stretch. So I think that Week 8 game is going to be critical.
Okay. I think that wraps up all of our NFC East preview for this week. I think we kind of teased where we're going next week. So if you think that our over-unders, we are an over-under five-star podcast. I think we're an over five-star podcast, but that's just my personal opinion. And you have the ability to rate us on your favorite podcasting platform. Go ahead and go over the that five-star. Maybe leave us a little blurb in there. It does help out our engagement and help spread the word to others who might find us entertaining. At least I find us entertaining. Our link tree, linktr.ee/BrodyTalk. That's where all of our links for all the social media that's out there that we're on will reside. So go ahead and hit us up. Tell us where we're wrong. Tell us if there's a team that should go over that we picked for under and under that we picked for over. Stuff like that. So on behalf of Caleb, my name is Derek. Do me a favor and have a wonderful day.
Fly, Eagles, fly.